Hare Krishna. We are reading this morning from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, which is entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 29. I'll just read the text since we are short of time and read the purport. Vishvakspurantam grihanaturam harir vyalo yathakum kulishakshatatvacham Dwari urum ap apatya dadara lilaya nakhair yatahim garudo mahavisham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: as a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Narasimhadev captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Narasimhadev placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs, and in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hand. Purport: Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promise of Lord Brahma intact, Narasimhadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is the end of the day and the beginning of night, but is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Narasimhadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Narasimhadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to take the blessings of all the senior Prabhupada disciples present here, Kripa Mai Prabhu and others, and also of the other senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, before I can share a few thoughts on this most auspicious day, the divine appearance day of Lord Narasimhadev. It is a tall order to sit here and speak in front of many senior devotees. Just because I have been ordered, I am sitting here and trying to offer this service. After this drama performed by the Krishna Club kids, I don't know what I'll be able to say. My class is going to be a big flop after such a fantastic drama by these wonderful kids. So, Lord Narasimhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whenever he comes to this material world, he performs one act, but through one act he accomplishes many, many purposes simultaneously. In fact, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the best multitasker. He can handle so many different tasks at one single time. The ability of a human being to do multiple things at the same time is very much limited. There was one man who had studied very hard and was trying to set up a business. So this man, ultimately, after trying hard a lot, nothing worked. So he set up his office. No one came to set a deal with him. One day after a long time, one man walked in. And this guy, he thought, my God, this is the only chance to make business with him. So suddenly he started writing, and as he was writing, he started talking on the phone and everything to make this person feel, I'm such a multitasker and I'm such a busy man. And this guy came and sat right in front of this person. And he was talking on the phone about that deal, it's about 20 million pounds and this and big things he was talking. And after he hung up the phone, he asked this man, so sir, what could I do for you? He said, oh, I am the phone man, I've come to fix your telephone lines. You know, no one in this world can do multitasking like the Supreme Lord can. And therefore, when Lord Krishna comes in this world as Lord Narasimhadev, out of the many reasons he comes, I tried to list down five primary reasons why Lord comes as Narasimhadev. The first reason why the Supreme Lord comes here to this world as Lord Narasimha is to keep the words of his devotees. That is the nature of the Lord. The Lord will always make the words of his devotees come true. Satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. Nija bhritya, his own personal servants, his own personal devotees, bhashitam. Whatever they say, satyam vidhatum. The Supreme Lord wants to make the words of his devotees come true. The Lord appeared in this world to make the words of Brahma come true. Brahma had given Hiranyakashipu a benediction, and to keep the words of Brahma, the Lord appeared through the pillar. Stambhe sabhayam. From the stambha, from the pillar, sabhayam. Into the sabha, into the assembly hall. He came to this world to keep the words of Prahlad true, make them true. Hiranyakashipu had asked Prahlad, is your Lord in this pillar? Prahlad said yes. To make the words of Prahlad true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared to keep the words of Narad Muni true. Narad Muni had said to Indra that in the womb of Kayadu is a great devotee, Prahlad, do not kill him. To keep the words of Narad Muni true, make his words true, the Lord appeared. The Lord had appeared to make the words of the four Kumaras true, because when they had come to the spiritual world, we saw in the play, you know, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravan and the Kumbhakarna, and we have Shishupal and Dantavakra, three births as demons. So the first reason why the Lord comes to this world is to make the words of his pure devotee come true. Satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. Whatever the nija bhrityas say, the Lord makes it true. And therefore, this is a very powerful point, because it's a ray of hope for devotees. Whatever Srila Prabhupada speaks, the Lord will always fulfill the words of his pure devotee. Prabhupada writes in a purport to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Vimohan Leela. He talks about the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. And he says this was a deserted land in Raman Reti. And one pure devotee desired that let there be a nice temple for Krishna and Balaram. And a nice temple has come up. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he said that if one chants 16 rounds and follows the four regulative principles and remains in the association of devotees, Srila Prabhupada promised that I'll take these devotees back home, back to Godhead. So many devotees left our society. So many devotees passed from this world. And because Srila Prabhupada gave this word, the Supreme Lord came in so many amazing ways to take these devotees back to his lotus feet. In fact, His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj has recently released a book called Many Moons. And this book, Many Moons, is about the different devotees. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, His Holiness Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj, Her Grace Archa Vigraha Devi Mataji, of how Krishna, based on Srila Prabhupada's words, reciprocated with the lives of these devotees and took these devotees back. And therefore, to remain in this society based on the words of his divine grace is the greatest hope, because Krishna always fulfills the words of his pure devotee. Satyam vidhatum nija bhritya bhashitam. Therefore, I've been saying in this visit that ISKCON is like a local train. You know, if any of you have been to Bombay on a local train in the evening, it is hellish. If you want to know what hell is, one has to be in Bombay on the local train in the evening. 100 people meant to be on the coach, there are only 500. And one stands there and appears like a yogasan, vrikshasan. The hands are up, one leg is up, the nose is somewhere where I won't mention, and all kinds of stinking smell. Crowded. To get on to the local train is difficult. To stay on to the local train is even more difficult. But to come out of the local train is very easy. One simply has to remain there, and the push of all the people on there ejects one out of the train straight onto the platform, the destination, when one reaches there. So I've been saying that ISKCON is like a local train, and Srila Prabhupada is like the driver of this local train. And all the different temples all over the world are like the coaches in this local train. Bhakti Vedanta Manor is one coach. Radha Landanishwar Temple is another coach. New Vraj Dham in Hungary is another coach. And many, many devotees are like the crowded passengers in this local train. To get on this train is hard. To stay on this train is even harder. But if one somehow remains on this train, the driver has promised. Srila Prabhupada has promised that being ejected from this local train, one can definitely achieve the final destination, the spiritual world. Therefore, the first reason the Lord came as Narasimha Dev was Satyam Vidhatum Nija Bhritya Bhashitam, to make the words of his pure devotees true. The second reason why he came to this world was to reclaim his devotees. His devotees may sometimes forget him, but the Lord will never forget his devotees. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahakrishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Sei Prabhu, Sei Bhakta Dhanya Jena Chhade Prabhur Charan, Sei Prabhu Dhanya Jena Chhade Nijajan. Great is that devotee who never gives up the lotus feet of the Lord. And great is that Lord who never gives up his devotee. Durdaiva Vash Bhakta Jadi Jayanya Sthane Durdaiva Vash. Because of some misfortune, somehow or the other, due to some reason, some misfortune, Durdaiva Vash Bhakta Jadi Jay Anya Sthane. If a devotee leaves the Lord, Sei Prabhu Dhanya, great is that Lord who will never give up on his devotee. Tare Chule Dhariyane holds his chule, his shikha, and pulls it back. Therefore, I think devotees have shikha. You know, if someone passes by, leaves, the Lord can pull back, the spiritual master can live back, pull back. The Mayavadis have no hope because they have no shikha. They slip out of the hands of the Lord, you know. And therefore, the Lord never forgets his devotees. The devotee may forget him, but the Lord never forgets his devotees. Jaya and Vijaya, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, cursed to come in this material world. And when they came in this world, they forgot their connection with the Lord. They had to. A king may keep wrestlers, and the wrestlers are meant to wrestle with the king. But if the wrestlers remember that this is the king, they can't give the king a tough fight. The wrestlers have to take this off their mind that this is a king, and wrestle with the king to give him a tough fight. Jaya and Vijaya came as Hiranyaksha and as Hiranyakashipu, and forgot totally their connection with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And therefore, the Lord came. He said, they may forget. Jai may forget. Vijay may forget. I can't forget. Sei Prabhu Dhanya Tare Chule Dhariyane. Great is that Lord who will never, ever forget the service rendered by his devotee. In the Ishopanishad, there is a verse, Kritosmara, Kritam Smara, Kritosmara, Kritam Smara, where the devotee is saying, when I'm leaving this world, my dear Lord, please remember the service that I have rendered unto you. And His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary, mentions an amazing point. He says, a devotee does not need to remind the Lord of the services performed. The Lord has a very big hard disk. Right? Such a big hard disk. All the devotees from all over the creation, all their services, everything is remembered by the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada says, there is no need to remind the Lord. He will never forget his devotee. To pull Jaya and Vijaya back, quickly back to the spiritual world, the Lord came in this world as Narasimha Dev to reclaim Jaya and Vijaya from their conditions as demons. And when he came to this world, after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimha Dev came and sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, simply to accept that offering. He worked so hard to get that throne. And Lord Narasimha Dev thought, my devotee has struggled so much, let me accept that offering. Let me accept that offering of love, he thought. It's after all Jaya and Vijaya only, you know. He came and sat on this golden throne. It was all tainted with blood of Hiranyakashipu. My God, there were two scandalous murders.
one of a kshatriya and one of a brahmana. Kshatriya, Hiranyakashipu, straight on the throne. And brahmana, Romaharshan Sud, Baldev. Simply one blade of grass. Murder on the Vyasasan, the only one in the creation. Right. Straight there. And therefore, when one makes an offering to the Supreme Lord, there are many mantras, mudras that have to be done to purify. There is the Matsya Mudra. And there are so many different mudras to purify the bhoga offerings before offering it to the Lord. Lord Narasimhadev accepted the offering of Hiranyakashipu straight away. Without bothering to purify, there was blood all over. Blood, guts, flesh. And if there is any contamination, one has to purify it with Gomutra, cow urine, or with Ganges water, Gangajal, or with chanting of mantras, recitation of mantras, or with making of mudras. There was no Gomutra sprinkled on the throne. There was no cow dung put on the throne. There was no Ganges water. There was no chanting of mantras. Narasimhadev did not say to Prahlad, wait, first I'll do the Matsya Mudra. Then I'll accept the offering of Hiranyakashipu. No, he did not. He simply went and sat on the throne and accepted the throne as an offering of Jaya and Vijay, who were now as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So the second reason he came was, they forgot me, I can't forget. What a hope. Again, what a hope. That the Lord will never forget his devotees. The third reason why the Lord came to this world was to impress upon the world a very powerful lesson. No one in the material creation can be a controller. Here is Hiranyakashipu trying to be the controller. This world, no one can control. Akbar and Birbal once were walking around. And Birbal said to Akbar, I think all the husbands are in control of their wives, is not? Birbal said, I'm sure there must be exceptions, my dear king. He said, let's find out how many husbands are not under the control of their wives. And how many are controlled by their wives. He said, no, no problem, call all the men. A line was drawn. And Birbal said, so the emperor wants to know how many are controlled by their wives and how many are not controlled by their wives. Those who are controlled on the left side, those who are not on the right side. Everyone went on the left side, clear, honestly revealing, yes, we are controlled, not by force, by love. Right. And only one man stood on the other side to reveal that he was not controlled. So Akbar said, see, I told you there'll be at least one man. Birbal went and asked him, so, you're not controlled by your wife? Why are you standing here? He said, my wife asked me to stand on the right side. Therefore, I'm standing on this side. You know, one man showed a cartoon. It said, I am the boss of this house and I have the permission of my wife to say so. You know? Well, there is control of force and there is control of love even in the family life. No one in this world can act as the supreme controller. Srila Prabhupada used to say, Napoleon said, France and Napoleon identical. You know, France and Napoleon identical, and he made the Arch de Triomphe. You know, and on this Arch de Triomphe, he wrote in French, France and Napoleon identical. When Prabhupada went there and saw this, Srila Prabhupada said, oh, France and Napoleon identical? France is still here. Where is Napoleon? And when Srila Prabhupada came to England, Prabhupada said, the sun never set on the British Empire and now the sun never rises. He said, it's such a gloomy country where the sun never rises, Srila Prabhupada said. You know? And therefore many, many empires were made, many kings, many powerful controllers, all trying to control. But the material world is a place which cannot, no one can be the supreme controller here. Frederick Nietzsche wrote on a church. He wrote, God is dead. And signed, Frederick Nietzsche. God is dead, Frederick Nietzsche. The next morning as Nietzsche was passing by, the priest had rubbed it. And he wrote there, Nietzsche is dead, God. Signed, God. That's very true. Many Hiranyakashipus have come to this world and gone. Many Hiranyakshas have come to this world and gone. many Napoleons and Nietzsche's and Sigmund Freud's, I don't want to say it that way, you know. Many have come and many have gone, all trying to control, keep their world in control, keep their empires in control. Unfortunately, the material world is a place where things are not in control. Even IBM not in control. The body is not in control. One senior devotee mentioned when he had a big stomach upset. So the devotee asked him, what's wrong? He said, IBM. Said, IBM? IBM as in the software company? He said, no, IBM, involuntary bowel movements. He said, you know, my stomach is not in my control. World is a hard place to live. Srila Prabhupada was walking once and he saw in Mexico a garbage can, a rubbish bin. And His Holiness Hridayananda Maharaj was with him. He learned some Spanish. It was written something in Spanish on this bin. Srila Prabhupada asked him, what is written on this bin? And Hridayananda Maharaj said, Prabhupada, it's written here, rubbish bin, trash can, throw your rubbish in here. Prabhupada said, that means looks like we'll have to throw the whole material world in this rubbish bin. You know, no one in this world can control. The demoniac mentality is to rule, is to control. And the divine mentality is to be controlled. Controlled by love. Controlled by sweet affection. Controlled by loving friendships. Controlled by affectionate care. Controlled by reciprocal dealings. That is devotee association. Whereas the material world, demoniac mentality is to control and hold on and grab the power. Devotee mentality is to leave the power. Give the power. Delegate the power. Share the power. Serve and love. But demoniac mentality means holding on. And therefore we saw in the drama, Hiranyakashipu wanting to be immortal, but wanting to be immortal by shortcuts. One time, Hiranyakashipu, you know, Ravana was also Hiranyakashipu, later Ravana. Ravana met Narad Muni. And when Narad Muni was along with Ravana, he heard Narad Muni had such spiritual and transcendental knowledge. Ravana said, please give me knowledge, Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, you're a crook, man. If I give you knowledge, you'll abuse that knowledge simply to grab power. Ravana was so wild. He took a sword and rushed towards Narad Muni. If you do not give me knowledge, I shall kill you. And he took the sword and started mincing the body of Narad Muni. One devotee here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, simply because he was becoming a devotee of Krishna, his father took a sword and started cutting. Lives here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Started cutting off flesh from his body. Real story. Real story, you know. Ravana started cutting off the body of Narad Muni. But Narad Muni's body, invincible. Not a single scratch on the body of Narada. Ravana was impressed. Said, man, this guy is a model. I want to be like him. Tell me, how can I be immortal? Like you, my body should be unscathed and unscratched. How? Narad Muni said, chant the names of Lord Ram. Simply by chanting the names of Lord Ram, you will get an immortal body. He said, except for this one thing, tell me anything else. And I shall do it. That's demoniac mentality. When Ravan was fighting against Lord Ram, they had to wake up Kumbhakarna. And Kumbhakarna was in deep sleep. When he got up, he said, why are you worried about this one human being? Ram, what is he after all? You are such a powerful personality. Just change your form to that of Ram and go and do what you want to do with Sita. You have the mystic ability to change your forms. Just make yourself Ram. Ravan said, that's a very easy proposal. I thought about you. You think I'm a nut? I've been thinking about it, to change my form by my mystical powers. But there's one issue there. If I want to get someone's form, I have to chant his name. And if I chant the name of Ram, the problem is the lust in my heart will be gone. And then I'll start seeing Sita as mother. So what is the fun? I want to enjoy with Sita. Even Ravan knew that chanting the holy name cleans the heart. You know, even demoniac personalities know that taking the name of the Lord cleanses the heart. But that's somehow demoniac mentality. The Lord appeared in this world to prove that no one can be the supreme controller. He came to destroy Hiranyakashipu to show that all empires, whether it's the Roman Empire, whether it is the French Empire, whether it is the Mughal Empire, whether it is the British Empire, whether it is the Indian Empire, whether it is Hiranyakashipu's Empire, Hiranyaksha's Empire, or my small empire in my own world where I think I am the ruler, the king, the lord, the master, the controller, will all be finished by the power of time. And therefore, to prove to the world and teach the world what the nature of this world is, he came to kill Hiranyakashipu. The fourth reason why the Lord came to this world as Narasimhadev is to show something that he truly hates. There's only one thing that the Lord hates. Only one. There's nothing more that the Lord hates. And that is an offense committed to a devotee. Any offense that is committed to a devotee, that is one thing that the Lord cannot stand. Someone goes and insults a man. The man says, okay, doesn't matter, he's saying it fine. But someone goes and insults his child who's so dear to him, the man takes it very seriously. Mahatma Gandhi, nice man, he was in India. His philosophy was ahimsa, you know, non-violence. He was once standing with two of his young lady disciples. And one gentleman came and asked him, if some guy comes and molests one of these girls, would your philosophy still be ahimsa, non-violence? Would you not do anything to the man who is seducing this lady? He said, no, I wouldn't do anything. Because after all, the supreme thing is ahimsa or non-violence. And both these girls left him immediately. You know, if anyone subordinate is offended, a dear person is offended, none of us like it. If someone says an ill word to a wife or a husband, I don't know, at least we're not supposed to like it. You know, we wouldn't like it. If someone says a bad word to our child or our father or our mother, we wouldn't like it. There's one thing that Krishna just does not like. Is offense, criticism to his devotees, causing emotional or physical hurt to his devotees. Just cannot take it. Just cannot handle it, you know. And the other day I was mentioning that as soon as there is offense, we are off the fence of the protection of the Lord and the spiritual master. So the Lord wanted to reveal this, that Prahlad is being offended. Hiranyakashipu is causing such an offense to my devotee Prahlad. This one thing I can't take. Like truly hurting my heart. And therefore, to prove to the world the seriousness of Vaishnava Aparad, the Acharyas explained the Lord came to this world as Narasimhadev to prove to the world the gravity of offending a sincere devotee, a Vaishnava. It is called the mad elephant offense. His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj near Belgaum has developed this farm called the Gokuldham Project. There are many fields there. And in many of these fields, there were some mad elephants. Mad elephants go crazy. They are wild. There's some fluid that comes into their head every few months. They just go absolutely wild and crazy and trample upon everything. In a field, which was just close to our farm, Gokuldham, this elephant would come, eat some rice, paddy, and trample upon most of the crops. Finish it. And after having a good feast, he would lie down on his left side to finish the rest. And after a couple of months, he started bringing 8 of his friends. This is a true story. 9 elephants would come to this field and finish off all the crops. And at a certain point of time, one of these elephants stabbed the child of this farmer, 8-year-old. All the devotees saw the dead body pierced through and through by the tusk, you know.
Goodness.
And one particular day, our simple brahmacharis from Gokuldham, they're highly educated materially and are living a very simple life in this farm. This mad elephant started chasing one of our brahmacharis. And this brahmachari was running, running like anything to save his life. This elephant totally maddened when this fluid goes in the head. They just go wild and start roaring and chasing like anything. And as this mad elephant was chasing this brahmachari, running, running, running. And this brahmachari was scared to death. He had seen the dead body of this 8-year-old stabbed. And as he was running, suddenly this brahmachari remembered. In his childhood he had heard that a mad elephant can kill anyone, do anything. But an elephant can never go downhill. And an elephant does not ever go downhill only for the reason that he's so heavy. Just tumble off. They never go downhill. And therefore this brahmachari, as he was really running, by Krishna's grace, he was on top of a hill. And when he remembered this, he rushed downhill. And the elephant stood there, roaring mad. Couldn't come down. And one senior devotee who was sharing this realization, the story, he was saying, to save oneself from offense, the mad elephant offense, one has to run downhill. One can't stand up there on the hill maintaining a position. One has to have a humble position going downhill. Only then the mad elephant will not chase us. If one stands on top of the hill, air around oneself, this mad elephant will definitely come in one's life and destroy the tender creeper of devotional service. And therefore the Lord appeared in this world to prove the gravity of the offense to a Vaishnava. And the fifth reason why the Supreme Lord came in this world as Narasimhadev is to protect his pure devotee, sincere devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore the Lord came for these five reasons. Firstly, nija bhritya bhashitam satyam vidhatum, to make the words of his devotees come true. Secondly, the Lord came to this world to reclaim his devotees Jai and Vijay, who had forgotten him, but he did not forget them. Thirdly, the Lord came to this world to show no one in this world can remain as the controller. Fourthly, the Lord came to show the gravity of offense to a Vaishnava. And fifthly, the Lord came to protect his pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And we tried to make this word protect into an acronym called protect. And this morning, in brief, we have about half an hour, I'll try to explain how the Lord protected Prahlad in many different ways. And in the word protect, P stands for providence. How the Lord protected Prahlad Maharaj? Apparently through providence. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was not conforming to what Hiranyakashipu was expecting of him, Prahlad Maharaj ordered his soldiers to destroy. Hiranyakashipu ordered his soldiers to destroy Prahlad. The first thing they did was, they gave him to snakes. Venomous serpents. Let all these venomous serpents bite Prahlad to death. And Prahlad survived. All the soldiers came and asked Prahlad, hey Prahlad, how did you live? All these venomous serpents, such powerful poison would have killed you. How did you survive? Prahlad said, very simple. My father's bed is Anantashesh, the supreme serpent. And all these tiny, puny, little, teeny, peeny, Prabhupada used to use the word teeny, teeny, meeny snakes. All these teeny, meeny snakes are the disciples of my father's bed, Anantashesh. So my father sent a text message. No harm to my dear child, Prahlad. To the world, it seemed providence. To Prahlad, it seemed the Lord arranged for the snakes to protect him. Prahlad was given deadly poison to drink. Deadly poison. He drank it. Socrates was also given deadly poison to drink. And when he took this poison, he drank it. Brahman realized, Prabhupada called him. He thought, I am the spirit soul. You can't kill me. Socrates was Brahman realized, self realized. Prahlad was God realized. Both had pots of poison in their heads. Socrates' fearlessness came from the fact that the soul is indestructible. Prahlad's fearlessness came from the fact that God is with me. When this poison was given to him, he didn't die. The soldiers said, Prahlad, we gave you deadly poison, you still didn't die. How? Prahlad said, you nuts. Can't you understand this simple thing? When my father, when my mother, Lakshmi Devi, Rama Devi, came out of the ocean of milk, there was also poison that came out of it. First came deadly poison, halahal, which Lord Shiva drank, and then came Rama Devi, my mother, Lakshmi Devi. So both poison and Lakshmi were born from the same father, the ocean of milk. Therefore, poison and Lakshmi are brother and sister. So if Vishnu is my father, Lakshmi is my mother, who is poison? Mama ji, you know, is my mama, is my uncle. And therefore, what will mama do? Kill me? Come on, you should understand the simple thing. The world saw it as providence. By providence, Prahlad was saved. Even poison didn't affect him. Prahlad saw the Lord arranged this providence. They threw him, you know, they threw him from a cliff. When they threw him from a massive cliff, he fell down on the ground. Nothing happened to him. They said, hey Prahlad, you didn't die. I said, very simple. When my father came as Varahadev, he married Bhumi Devi. Bhumi was his wife. Who is my mother? So you put on me on the lap of my mother, and my mother saying, Prahlad, how are you? Here I am on Dharani Devi's lap. They put him in the ocean. When they put him in the ocean, that place was Vishakhapatnam. How many have been to Vishakhapatnam? Andhra Pradesh? Vizag? It's called Vizag now. The place where Prahlad was put into the ocean was Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. And at that point of time, the Lord took an amazing form. Half, not half man, half lion. Half boar, half lion. The top part was Varaha. The bottom part was Narasimha. No one saw. Only Prahlad saw. And Prahlad requested, my dear Lord, please manifest in this form as a deity. And the Lord manifested his Varaha Narasimha form, which is today in Simhachalam in Andhra Pradesh. So angry was he, burning. They had to put sandalwood on top of him. About 200 kilos of sandalwood put throughout the year. Only one day the Lord gives darshan. On Akshay Tritiya, which just recently passed. They take off the sandalwood only for 12 hours. The darshan is open. Anytime anyone is in India at that time, don't miss the chance. It's a very rare darshan of Jiyada Narasimha or Varaha Narasimha. The Lord protects his devotees through providence apparently. Arrangements are made for protection. Srila Prabhupada was talking once to His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj. He was very sick. And His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj said, Prabhupada, I know one Marwadi Kaviraj. He's from Rajasthan. He's a very good Vaidya. We should take his treatment, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, I'll tell you, this Vaidya is such a devotee. When I told him about you and about your books, he said that you were a reincarnation of Vyasadev. And Prabhupada, this Vaidya said, his father was a devotee of Lord Narasimha. Once, his father and 12 other men went to Badrikashram, Badrinath, to take darshan of Lord Badri Vishal. And as they were walking through the dense forests of Badrikashram, suddenly there were these tribal aborigines who came and attacked these 13 men. The father said, don't worry, what do you want? Our wealth, our property, whatever you want, we'll give it all to you. Just spare our life. The aborigines said, look, we're not just after money and wealth. We thoroughly enjoy chopping people's heads off. And we will do the same to all 13 of you. And Prabhupada's eyes grew big. As he looked at His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj, his eyes grew big to hear what would happen next. As most devotees here are thinking, were their heads chopped or no? The main man, who was this Kaviraj's father, told these aborigines, the leader of these aborigines, look, everyone at least gives 5 minutes for prayer. Give us 5 minutes for prayer. Then whatever you like, you do. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, all 13 men laid down on their knees. The shortest distance between a problem and a solution is the distance between the knees and the floor. the power of prayer. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Like they say, na? Fragile, handle with care. They say, life is fragile. Handle with prayer. You know? A week without prayer makes one weak. You know? A week without prayer makes one weak in one spiritual life. And therefore, all of these 13 men on their knees, praying intensely to Lord Narasimhadev, please, my dear Lord, protect us. And Prabhupada's eyes grew bigger. He was sick, hardly eating at that time. As His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj narrated the story, on the edge of his bed, lying down, Prabhupada waited to hear what would happen. As all these 13 men, hands folded, eyes closed, shut tight, prayed to Lord Narasimha, suddenly from the forest there was a roar, a massive roar. A lion came rushing, charging towards the whole group, and none of these 13 men were touched. The lion came and killed all five of the aboriginal tribals who were trying to destroy the devotees of Lord Narasimhadev. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki! Yeah. And as Lojanlis Tamalkrishna Maharaj told Prabhupada the story, Prabhupada had a broad grin on his face hearing the glories of Lord Narasimhadev. Apparently the world will say, what Narasimha? It was a lion who came and saved. Providence, destiny, luck. Oh really? Providence, destiny, luck? We also can try going in the forest and see if lions come to save us. If it's just providence, destiny and luck. You know? One boy in Bombay, he wasn't a Hare Krishna man. He was traveling from Bombay to a place called Aurangabad in Maharashtra. And on the way back, he was driving his car, him and his father, met with such a massive accident, the car toppled over. And the whole car was on fire. Flames shooting up from the car. And both this man turned upside down, so the world was now topsy-turvy for them. Somehow or the other, they tried to come out of this car, passed out of the car. They weren't burnt or scratched anywhere on their bodies. This guy, just trying to get out of this whole trauma, seeing the car burning, opened his eyes and turned towards the other side. And you know, in India there are these roadside restaurants, you know what they're called? Dhabas. Punjabi dhabas. You know. This dhaba was called Radha Krishna Dhaba. And when this guy looked at this, he said, there is a sign here. Radha Krishna Dhaba. I am saved by Radha Krishna. I have to do something about life. He came back to Bombay and started looking, can I find a Radha Krishna temple somewhere? And the first he found was ISKCON Chowpatty, where I come from. He was living close by. And he came and said, tell me, what should I do? We don't get people like that. Usually we don't get people like that saying, tell me, what should I do? He said, would you like to chant? How many rounds? Can you chant 16? Why 16? 32? Anything I'll do, no problem. And everyone in the family was saying, lucky beta, you were very lucky. Huh? Providence saved you. Huh? Beta, you were really lucky. Lucky, all the piety of our whole family came to your rescue. Really? And therefore, Krishna protects his devotees first through providence, which apparently looks to everyone like providence, but it's the Lord who has inspired that situation to protect his devotee, and Prahlad was protected in that way. The R in the protect stands for representatives. It's not just through providence and situations that the Lord arranges to protect his devotees, but the Lord arranges to protect his devotees through his representatives. Prahlad, in the womb of his mother, Kayadu, Hiranyakashipu performing austerities for 1,000 years. Indra and all the demigods know that Kayadu is pregnant. They know this is the seed of Hiranyakashipu. It will be a demoniac child. Can't spare this child. Have to finish this child off. Indra and all the demigods come there with the sole motive of taking Kayadu away and killing that innocent child within the womb of Kayadu. As this is happening, the Supreme Lord arranges for a representative to to protect Prahlad. Narad Muni comes there. Narad Muni tells Indra, my dear Indra, there is a child. The child in the womb of Kayadu is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Don't kill him. Indra did not question, how did you know, Narad Muni? You did a sonography. How did you know that inside he was pure? He's not even born. How did you know that he was a pure devotee? And anyways, even if you do sonography, you can only find out whether it's a male or a female. How we wish we could find out if they were pure devotees. Simply putting a sonographic machine there. You know? No. How did you know? They didn't challenge. Narad Muni said, no problem. Here's a man. Trust him fully. No problem. Said, okay. We will not kill the child. Prahlad was protected. Physically protected. He was given life. Physical life. By a representative of the Supreme Lord Narad Muni. Sometimes, you know, people portray Narad Muni in such a wrong way, is it not? Narad Muni is shown in India so many times, movies. He's a cartoon character. Brahmanas are cartoon characters in India. Such a pathetic scene. Brahmanas are shown with a shikha that is standing 90 degrees on the head like this erect. You know, as if he has put hair gel. Or he's got an electric jolt, you know, and suddenly all the hair is standing on the end. And he's portrayed as a character playing mischief, you know. Very sad how Narad Muni is many times portrayed, you know. But here is the Supreme Lord's representative. Sometimes people feel, kaam dhanda nahi kuch Narad Muni ka. Doesn't have any work, job. Simply takes a veena and goes, Narayan, Narayan, Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman. Simply goes around and he knows how to, you know, how to trigger off things. Doesn't have anything to do. When I used to work as a software man for Hewlett Packard, HP, I used to be a person on the field. And they gave me a cellular phone. And that cellular phone is meant not to give you a good phone. That cellular phone is wherever you are, you can be tracked. So I would move around the city freely doing nothing. And people would watch Lukha. You know, in India they call Lukha, lazy fellow. Doing nothing, just moving around, holding a phone and a bag in the hand. But when you're moving around, suddenly a phone call from the boss. Sir, go there. Problem in the computer. You have to sort it out. And I would have to immediately rush there. Narad Muni is a software engineer. On the field. Looks like doing nothing, carrying a veena and saying, Narayan, Narayan, Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman. But suddenly when there is an issue, the supreme boss gives a call from inside. No, there's a software crash there. Prahlad is in danger. There is a virus. Indra, he's trying to hack him. Go save him. How did Narad come to know that Dhruva was in the forest? How did he come to know? He was not in the palace of Uttanapad. When Dhruva left home, he was not sitting in the palace of Uttanapad, Narad Muni. He was just traveling around all over the universe. How did Narad Muni come to know that Dhruva had left home? The on-field engineer got the call from the supreme boss. Go on. Here's a child, needs a software fix. Go. Guide him how to use this software. Devotional service. And therefore, Narad Muni came to protect. Vidura, the representative of the Lord, came to protect the Pandavas from the house of lack. It was a representative that saved the Pandavas from death. Srila Prabhupada, when he was a child, once Harishauri Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in a very nice mood, telling all kinds of childhood stories. Prabhupada smiled at Harishauri Prabhu and said, Harishauri, should I tell you something? When I was just a little baby, little child, one day I went to the backside of my house and I took a matchbox. You know, this, I don't know if you get them here, fireworks matchboxes, colored matches, with the sticks which have green and yellow colors. So I took that and I lit it up. And when I lit it up, that matchstick fell from my hand and fell on my cotton dhoti and my entire dhoti was on fire. No one was around. My mother, my father, no one was around. And suddenly, out of the blues, one man arrived and immediately put my dhoti off. Fire and took me to my mother and he left, never to be seen again. And Srila Prabhupada said, I don't know whether he was a devotee or not, but Krishna arranged for one of his representatives to come and save me from that fire, like Vidura saved the Pandavas from the house of lack and fire. You know, one devotee was telling me a very tearful story. Friend of mine, he told me after growing up, nice devotee, initiated devotee. He told me with tears in his eyes, I am a spared embryo. I said, Prabhu, what are you saying? He said, I am a spared embryo. And in crying tears, he started telling me, recently my mother told me that she was going to abort me, kill me in the womb. And as she was about to kill me, she was going to the clinic, the doctor's, this is in India, going to the doctor's clinic. One lady, her friend, came on the way. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the doctor's clinic. Why? Because she was a close friend. She said, I want to kill this child. She said, why do you want to kill the child? He said, I already have 4. He said, there are many who have 10. What's the problem? You can take care of this 5th child. Don't worry. I'll tell you, this child will make you proud. Save him. And this lady changed her way. Did not kill the child. Simply because this lady, her friend, said it. The child was saved. And he became such a great devotee. He's a very powerful preacher. And when this mother told him this, I'm a close friend, so he's crying to me, saying, I'm simply a spared embryo. I said, don't worry. Krishna arranged for that lady, a representative of his, to save you so that the world would be benefited by your words when you become such a great preacher. You know? Narada saved Prahlad from being killed in the womb of Kayadu. And here's a story from the contemporary times how Krishna arranged for a lady, and this devotee is so grateful to that lady, still trying to find her. I want to thank her for having given me life. So R in the protect stands for representatives. O in the protect stands for omnipresence and omnipotence of the Lord, which protects his devotees. The Lord is everywhere. And has such tremendous power, he can appear to save his devotees. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, is your Lord in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes, he is in this pillar. And when Hiranyakashipu came and cracked the pillar open, out came from the pillar a form that no one had seen before. It wasn't a man, it wasn't a lion, such a unique species that doesn't exist in the creation of Brahma. In the 8,400,000 species, there is a human, there is a lion, but there is no half man, half lion. This species, the Lord came in simply for his devotee. And the Bhagavatam explains this form. It's called the Ugra Narsimha Dhyan. His eyes, angry eyes, resembled molten gold. His shining mane expanded the dimensions of his fearful face. His teeth were deadly. His razor sharp tongue was moving in his mouth like a dwelling sword. His ears were erect and motionless. His nostrils and his gaping mouth looked like the caves of mountains. His jaws parted fearfully. His entire body touched the sky. His neck was short and thick. His chest was broad. His waist was thin. His hairs on the body was white like the rays of the full moon. His arms resembled flanks of soldiers spread in all directions. And the Lord appeared roaring like a lion. Omnipresent everywhere and omnipotent, powerful. To finish, Hiranyakashipu, angry. Appearing in inconceivable ways. Lord Ramchandra appeared from sweet rice. From Paisam, from the Putra Kameshti Yagya. He didn't come from Kausalya's womb. He was planted in Kausalya's womb. He appeared from sweet rice. Imagine Narasimha Dev from sweet rice. He'll be too sweet. There's no mood to kill then. Lord Ram appeared from sweet rice. Narasimha Dev could not appear from sweet rice. He appeared from a pillar. Goodness, angry like anything. Supremely angry. One disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I get too angry at my wife. I just get so upset and I start shouting, yelling at my wife. Prabhupada said, next time you feel like this, put a picture of Lord Narasimha Dev in front of you. And meditate on Lord Narasimha Dev. When you see that he is a supreme personality of anger personified, you will forget your tiny puny anger. You know, you meditate on Lord Narasimha Dev, Srila Prabhupada told him. Angry. When he killed Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimha Dev's hands were all stained with blood. He washed his hands in a place in Andhra Pradesh. The sink, the wash basin was in Andhra Pradesh where Lord Narasimha Dev washed his hands. That came to be known as Rakta Kund. Raktakunda is the place where Lord Narasimhadev washed his fingers and his hands of the blood. There was no washing soap, you know. There's no lime soap or anything. Nothing there. But he just washed his hands in Raktakunda. This is a place called Ahobalam. Garuda wanted to take darshan of Lord Narasimhadev. He had not seen his form as Narasimhadev. Garuda prayed to the Lord, and when the Lord revealed his form inside a bila or a cave, Aho means wow. Ahobalam. Ahobalam. Wow. My Lord has manifested in a cave as Narasimhadev. Or Ahobalam. Balam means power. Ahobalam. Wow. What a power my Lord has. Garuda's eyes were gratified seeing the beautiful form of Lord Narasimhadev. After he washed his hands in the Raktakund in Andhra Pradesh, in the sink, Lord Narasimhadev traveled to Bengal to take a bath. His bathroom was in Bengal. The wash basin was in Andhra Pradesh. He went to Bengal. And in Bengal, there is a place called Devapalli or Narasimhapalli. And in this Narasimhapalli, Lord Narasimhadev bathed in this kunda. And all the demigods came there. Even today, there is a deity of Lord Narasimhadev. And all the demigods are present in the form of hills. That's where he took his bath. I have killed. I must bathe. And after bathing, he was tired. Enough. I've done all of this enough now. Now I need to rest. So Lord Narasimhadev transformed himself into a shaligram. From Andhra Pradesh, where he washed his hands, he went to Bengal to take a bath. And from Bengal, he went to Nepal, the Himalayan mountains, to take his rest in the form of a Narasimha shaligram in the Gandaki river. This is Satya Yuga. And as he was lying down there, Lakshmi Devi was feeling, my husband, I'm missing him for a long time. Satya Yuga has gone. He never came back again. And she went to South India, Tamil Nadu, and a place called Kamalalayam. She started performing severe austerities to get Lord Narasimha back, her husband back. And as she was performing severe austerities, offering prayers, I want my Lord back. I want my Lord back. You know, it Treta Yuga came meanwhile as she was performing tapasya and prayers. And in Treta Yuga, the battle between Ram and Ravan, when Lakshmana fainted, Hanumanji flew to the Himalayas to bring the Sanjeevani herb. And he picked up the whole mountain, and that particular tributary of the Gandaki river, which was flowing over that mountain, Sanjeevani mountain, also came along with it. And in that river was the Narasimha Shaligram. As he was flying over Tamil Nadu towards Sri Lanka, suddenly, just over Kamalalayam, Hanumanji felt very thirsty. I want to drink some water. He didn't know water was on the mountain. So he came down. This place is close to Salem in Tamil Nadu, called Kamalalayam. And when he came to this place, he kept the mountain down, drank water, and when he came to lift the mountain up, the mountain wouldn't move. He got annoyed. Who is this? Who stops me from saving Lakshmana by taking this Sanjeevani booty? I cannot handle this. Lakshmi said, look, I've been performing austerity. My husband is on this mountain. Give me my husband, the mountain will automatically get on your hands. Go back. Immediately, the Narasimha Shaligram jumped off the Gandaki river, and Lakshmi and Narasimha were united. Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagavan ki jai. And even today there is this place called Kamalalayam where one can go and take darshan of the Narasimha Shaligram, and one can take darshan of the huge Hanuman deity. Because of Hanuman, we brought this mountain there. You know, and therefore Srila Prabhupada said, a devotee always wants Sita Ram together, Lakshmi Narasimha together. They don't want to separate. Shurpanakha wanted Ram, not Sita. And Ravana wanted Sita, not Ram. Both demons. One wanted the Lord, the other wanted the energy. But a devotee wants Sita Ram together. Srila Prabhupada therefore said, all my Western disciples are my Vanara Sena, the representatives of Hanuman. And they are all going to assist me in getting Sita back and reuniting Sita with Lord Ramchandra. Vyas Dev went to a place called Vadapalli in Andhra Pradesh. And he sat there in meditation to take darshan of Lord Narasimhadev. As he sat there trying to meditate, suddenly the Lord appeared in his form, in his mind, exactly the way he had described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Ugra Narasimha form that we were talking about. His tongue was like a dueling sword, his mane. And as Vyasadeva was meditating on this form, He could feel the heavy, intense breathing of Lord Narasimhadev. Within his body at Vadapalli in Andhra Pradesh, Vyasadeva was feeling this intense breathing, hot breathing of Lord Narasimhadev. He prayed to Lord Narasimhadev, "This form that I am seeing, please manifest this form in the form of a deity." And there in Vadapalli, the Lord manifested a Ugra Narasimha form exactly as the description given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Srimad Krishna Dvaipayan Vyas. And still that deity breathes very heavily. If you ever visit this place, this deity breathes heavily. There are two lamps, ghee lamps. One ghee lamp is meant to light up the face of the Lord, and the second ghee lamp is kept under his nose to show how heavily he is breathing. The flame goes back and forth like this because of the breathing of Lord Narasimhadev, who came, you know, to protect his devotee, Prahlad. Therefore, the third way a devotee protects, that the Lord protects his devotee, is... So, the third way the Lord protects his devotee is through his omnipotent and omnipresent capabilities and abilities. The T in the protect stands for teachings. The Lord protects his devotees through his words, through his teachings. The Lord may come and save the physical body, but what truly saves the devotee's life is the words of the Acharya, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. When Prahlad was in the womb of his mother Kayadu, not only did Narad Muni give him a life by saving him from being killed by Indra, but Narad Muni also spoke to him the wisdom of Bhagavad Dharma. And when he heard the teachings of the Supreme Lord coming through the spiritual master, Narad Muni, Prahlad's life transformed. Prahlad's life changed. He was protected from falling to material desires. Pure devotee right from the womb of his mother, Kayadu. And therefore, what is truly crucial and important in terms of protection that comes from the Lord is his words, his teachings. And therefore, when we have Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the teachings of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, those teachings are our shelter. And those teachings is our protection. The more we take shelter of the Bhaktivedanta purports and the words of Srila Prabhupada, our consciousness is protected, our devotional service is protected. Once a devotee came to Srila Prabhupada, he was giving a talk, and in the talk one man said, "Swamiji, I have also brought my guru here today." Prabhupada said, "Okay, no, so? So Swamiji, my guru is Mauni Baba. Mauni Baba means he does not speak. He does not speak at all. Swamiji, my guru does not speak a word, but you speak a lot." He's telling Prabhupada in a public program. "Swamiji, my guru Mauni Baba does not speak anything and you speak a lot." And Prabhupada said, "Very good, he does not speak. Now let him sit and listen to me. You know, I'll tell him what he should be doing in his life," Prabhupada told him. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave so much emphasis to his teachings and spent sleepless nights writing this Bhaktivedanta purports, because of which we are all here, protected from the influence and the attack of the material energy. ISKCON is all about sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada established the International Society of Krishna Consciousness based on the power of sound vibration at Tompkins Square Park. ISKCON is meant to give an opportunity to every devotee to associate with Krishna in his Dhvani Rupa, in his Dhvani Avatar, in the form of Krishna Katha and Krishna Nam. And in such a way, one can protect oneself. The E in the protect stands for ecstasy. The Supreme Lord Narasimhadev protected Prahlad by putting in his heart such joy, such ecstasy. The very name Prahlad, Prakrishta Rupena Allayadati Iti Prahlad. Prahlad means complete joy, complete ecstasy. Spiritual joy is a gift that Krishna puts in the heart. Prahlad was so joyful, so happy at all times. whether the father chastised or he didn't chastise, whether they put him under elephants or they gave poison to him, whether the father was trying to kill him or not kill him. He was always blissful, always joyful, and in that joy, none of the miseries affected him. When a devotee is dissatisfied, problems seem very significant. When a devotee is happy and satisfied, the biggest problems seem trivial. Only a devotee of Krishna can contradict Krishna. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says this world is dukkhalayam. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. This world is full of misery, Krishna says, and a devotee says the world is full of joy. The world doesn't become full of joy. His heart is full of joy. Srila Prabhupada, heart full of joy in service to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj was complaining to Srila Prabhupada when he was in Kolkata about all the problems at the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Prabhupada, he doesn't listen to me. Prabhupada, he didn't misunderstand me. Prabhupada this, Prabhupada that. He kept going on. So many problems, Prabhupada. How do you deal with these problems? He asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada replied back to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj. He said, problems? I never had any problems. Imagine Srila Prabhupada saying, he said, I never had any problems because I only saw one thing, service to my spiritual master. Because I only focused on one thing, service to my spiritual master, I never saw anything that came in my life as a problem. Prabhupada was a bursting volcano of joy and satisfaction, happiness in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, he wouldn't have attracted those who were in the United States, the flower kids. All those in those days, they were taught, never trust anyone above 30. And Prabhupada was 70 when he went to America. His accent, thick Bengali accent. When he spoke in his Bengali accent, one time he gave a lecture and said, so, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save you. And when he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save you, all the devotees thought that he has come to shave you. They were hippies with long hair, you know. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save you. Said, they heard shave you. And they were so scared, they were so attached to their long hair. Prabhupada, 70 years old. Thick Bengali accent. Explaining an alien concept, Krishna consciousness. You know. And the slogan was, never trust anyone beyond 30. Exuberant volcano of joy and satisfaction in Krishna consciousness. When people saw this, they were attracted, you know. And therefore, Prahlad was protected by that ecstasy in the heart that the Lord gave. C in the protect stands for clarity in consciousness. The Lord gave him clarity in consciousness. Absolutely protected his consciousness, his service attitude. He was made the king, but he wasn't affected by the opulence around. And T, the final T in the protect, stands for troubles. All the troubles that came in his life were the protection of the Lord himself. Because in those troubles, he took shelter of the Lord. And in that shelter, there was an intimate relationship. Kunti Maharani said, let those troubles come again. Please, my dear Lord, let those troubles come again because we will now be able to take shelter of you when those troubles are there. Vipadha santuta shashvat, then we are protected. Some devotees in Moscow, they used to chant this verse every day in the morning. They would chant the whole chapter of Kunti Maharani's prayer. First week, there was a car accident. Let troubles come. The second week, the car was stolen. And then they realized, I think there is a connection there. We are chanting this verse, Vipadaha Tantuta Shashvat, let troubles come. They stopped chanting that chapter. And now they start in the Brahmacharya Ashram, they chant Shikshashtakam every morning. So that is an easy prayer to make. More troubles we cannot ask for. And of course, we cannot imitate these great souls. But when troubles do come, if we are in the association and company of devotees, those troubles are the protection of the Lord that the Lord offers, in which we can take shelter of His lotus feet. When a devotee struggles and fights, all the temptation that come on his way, Krishna gives him medals. Just like a warrior fights and wins so many battles, He's given medals. When a devotee struggles and fights all the temptations and desires, he gets medals. Those medals are the medals of good qualities. All the good qualities in the life of a devotee are the medals that the supreme boss, Krishna, puts on his devotees, because a devotee struggles and fights temptations and desires. And therefore, the Lord protected Prahlad in these ways. Protect, P, through providence, R, through his representatives, O, through his omnipresent and omnipotent nature, E, through the T, through his teachings that came through Narad Muni, E, the ecstasy that he put in his heart, C, clarity in consciousness, and finally T, troubles. And therefore a combination of all this happens in our lives. And if we are sit on this train, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, the driver, promises us, we will definitely go back to the lotus feet of the Lord, Lord Narasimhadev, right? As the Supreme Lord comes to this world, for Satyam Vidhatum Nija Bhritya Bhashitam, to make the words of his pure devotee come true. And therefore all the words that Srila Prabhupada spoke and all the promises that he made his followers definitely will come true as we remain faithful to his teachings given in his purports. Definitely by Srila Prabhupada's grace and Narasimhadev's grace, we will be protected like Prahlad was protected in this P-R-O-T-E-C-N-T as this acronym. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Lakshmi Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Narasimhadev Chaturdashi Mahamahotsav ki jai. Samavet Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.